Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming on the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work here in Ventura. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is health, mind, body, and financial. All three of my guests are going to teach us how to improve our health in one of these areas. My first guest is a relationship expert who's turned her attention to the issue of infidelity, relationships, and how relationships close. My second guest is the undisputed leading authority on vitamins, nutrition, and overall health. He's going to discuss a new epidemic rampaging across America, diabetes. My third guest will discuss the new tools of finance that only money masters know to help you to improve your financial health. And if you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Lisa Coffey is a lifestyle and relationship expert and a frequent contributor on the Today Show and other national television shows. She's a life coach who taps into her vast knowledge of Ayurveda, Feng Shui, aromatherapy, hypnotherapy, and other ancient philosophies to come up with positive solutions for contemporary challenges. Lisa is the author of 5 books. Her latest book is titled Closure and the Law of Relationships, Endings as New Beginnings. Welcome to the show, Lisa. How are you doing today?
Thanks so much. I'm doing great.
Well, it's lovely to have you on the show because you are a local resident nearby to Ventura County. So
That's right.
Yeah, that's great. Well, let's dive into the subject of infidelity. It's a growing problem, particularly here in Southern California. Estimates show that roughly 30 to 60% of all married individuals in the United States will engage in infidelity at some point in their marriage. Now, they're the famous examples like Clark Gable, Humphrey Bogart, Richard Burton, Elizabeth Taylor, Tiger Woods, Sandra Bullock, and all of that. But many of us think of physical infidelity as the only type of infidelity when we think about it. But you claim that there's more than just physical infidelity. What are the types of infidelities?
Oh, absolutely. Infidelity is the opposite of intimacy. So anytime we're being dishonest with our partner, our spouse, whoever that significant other is in our life, then we're being unfaithful. So emotional infidelity is really big right now. And a lot of this started because of the internet. You know, we're finding old loves on Facebook. We're, flirting on other social networks. Our pictures are up for everybody to see. So there's temptation all over the place. So we may be having a relationship with someone online, who knows where they live, so it can't be physical, but the flirtation itself and the amount of time we spend with this person online, maybe even the details of our lives that we give this person, makes it be emotional infidelity. We're putting our emotional time and energy to someone other than our spouse or significant other.
Well, let me stop you there, Lisa, because if you are, you know, being unfaithful over the internet, I mean, who believes those pictures and those descriptions that are up there anyway? I mean, they're usually exaggerated. I understand that it has nothing to do with the physical attraction there, but still, get to the root cause of it. If you are being unfaithful in that way, there's something else wrong at home, isn't there?
Absolutely, because what you're doing is you're trying to fill a need that's not being met at home. And if it's emotional infidelity, it's usually an emotional need. You're not getting enough attention. You're not getting enough of those compliments and those good feelings that you get from your spouse or that you feel that you should be getting from your spouse. And I think on the internet, it's all a fantasy anyway, so we're not, you know, buying into, yeah, this is the exact person's picture or his age or whatever it is. We don't really care about that. All we care about is, oh, this person cares about me. This person's paying attention to me. This person thinks I'm great, you know? So that's kind of what sucks us in more than anything else. But it's when you have a lack of intimacy at home, then that makes you vulnerable to an emotional infidelity.
All right. So we have physical infidelity, which we all pretty much can know what that is.
Yeah.
Emotional infidelity. And are there any other types?
Financial infidelity. That's a real big one, especially with the economy these days. Anytime we're not being honest with our finances, we're hiding money or hoarding money or spending money that our spouse doesn't know about. You know, if you're out there shopping and then you leave the bags in the car and you go in the house and you wait to see if your spouse is around before you bring in those bags, you know, you sneak them upstairs so they don't know what you bought, or you put it on a separate card so that you can pay the bill later, or, you know, they open up the credit card bill and they're like, what? You bought a remote control airplane? What is this? You know, you need to be really honest and upfront and share these details of your life. You know, some people are more comfortable having sex with a person or sharing their body with a person than they are sharing their checkbook with a person. And that's just ridiculous. You know, we need to be open and honest about all areas of our life. How much are you making? How much are you spending? What are our expenses? What are our costs, our base costs? How much can we put away? What are our goals for the future for this financial? Do we want to pay off our mortgage? Do we want to buy a house? Do we have kids to put through college? How are we going to do this together as a team? And when you're not on that same page, when somebody's doing things that, you know, behind the other person's back, dishonesty, that's financial infidelity.
All right. We're talking to Lisa Coffey, everybody. She's the author of a new book, Closure and the Law of Relationship, Endings as New Beginnings. We're talking about infidelity. And Lisa, I just want to ask you, is infidelity or the lack of intimacy sort of a natural outgrowth of the till death do us part, the whole concept of marriage lasting forever? And bear with me on this. You know, back when we got married forever, life expectancies were much shorter. Back at the start of the 20th century, 47 years was how long a man lived. It was 47 years.
Right.
Now, at the turn of the 21st century, men live to be 84 years old. So marriages, by definition, are just lasting longer. Should marriages be kind of a renewable contract that we get to renew every 7 years because of these extended lifespans that we never even planned on?
Well, I don't know about, you know, should, like as in legally or whatever, but it is something that we consciously and mindfully need to work on all the time, because it only makes sense that we're learning and growing as people. So we need to learn and grow as a couple. And, you know, a lot of people believe in the concept of past lives. Well, I think that you can have several lives within this lifetime. You know, we change our careers certainly many times. Some, you know, a lot of people change it many times during this lifetime and reinvent themselves. Well, to continue a relationship, you need to continue reinventing the relationship and keeping it fresh and making sure you know each other and learn and grow together instead of learn and grow apart.
All right. Well, Lisa, well, let's ask this. If there is an infidelity, whether it is physical or emotional or financial, can a couple move past infidelity? And if so, how?
Well, absolutely they can. And the thing is, you've got two people in this relationship, and you both have to be willing to recommit and take the steps necessary to heal the relationship. Because if you have infidelity, the relationship is broken, and it has to be fixed. So there are definite steps that you can take. A lot of times you need to get a third party involved, a marriage counselor or, you know, a spiritual consultant, you know, your minister, whoever it is, to give you an objective take on it. Because sometimes you're both so close on it, you look at your side and you can't look at the other person's side. So having that third party can bring you closer together.
We're talking to Lisa Coffey, everybody. Lisa, do you have any numbers or statistics that you can share with us after a couple has been unfaithful, one or both members have been unfaithful? How many couples actually stay together after that?
Gosh, You know, that's a really good question, and I don't have those figures. I don't know if they're even available, but I should look into that because that would be really interesting to know. I know that there are so many factors in a marriage that can cause a breakup, and infidelity is just one of them. So, you know, if we want to stay with our partners, we have to work at it.
All right. We're talking to Lisa Coffey, everybody, author of the new book, Closure and the Law of Relationships, Endings as New Beginnings. So, Lisa, let's say there is a transgression in the marriage and the marriage can't survive the infidelity and they can't restore the intimacy. Naturally, the marriage is going to break up. So that is a closure. What are the five stages of closure that you outline in your book?
Yeah, it's interesting because closure is different than grief. And I was looking at the five stages of grief. And even though you may have grieved that the relationship is over, you really don't have closure until you can get to the point of having gratitude for the relationship. So to start, we go with step one, which is recognition. You recognize that there's an issue. You recognize that it's irreparable. You recognize that this has come to its natural conclusion. The second part is acceptance. Accepting that, okay, this, we can't go back, we can't change things, this is going to be my life from now on in, you know.
All right. And Lisa, hold on. We have a caller. Donnie is calling in from Ventura. Donnie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Donnie. Thanks for calling in. What's your question for Lisa?
Well, hi, Lisa. I have a question. I do some work, actually quite a bit of work with our local church. And there's a situation that's happening with us right now. There's a lady, she's married, and her husband are struggling. I have deep feelings for them both. They're great people, but they're struggling. And part of the struggle is that when she was younger, her father did things to her that he probably shouldn't have.
Right.
And it was a struggle for her growing up. She has tried to give herself and to forget it, to move forward, but it seems to now be manifesting itself in that she has a very low self-esteem. She thinks very lowly of her abilities, and it's kind of it's manifesting itself now negatively in their relationship, and she has come to our church seeking some type of relief from the problem. The husband has been great, but they're both at wit's end. What would you say to a situation like that? Oh, incidentally, she is, I think, 30, and he is just a bit older, about 32, I think, 33.
Okay. Okay, so she's been abused, and she needs to heal from that abuse and to heal from her relationship and get closure from her relationship with her father. So that's the underlying issue at hand. And until that is done, she won't be able to have a relationship with her husband or anybody else. So her focus right now needs to be on getting closure with the past is the past. It wasn't my fault. I can't change what happened, but everything that happened led me to the place where I am today. So that if she can come to terms with the fact that, okay, I am who I am today, and the past is gone and it can't hurt me anymore, that my father can't hurt me anymore. Those experiences helped me learn and grow. Yes, it was terrible. Yes, it was awful. It should not happen to anyone, but here I am. What do you do with it? You know, you can't end your life. You can't define yourself by your past. So
correct.
I think it would be helpful for her to, you know, go through those five steps of closure, go through some individual counseling on her own to kind of release that experience. And sometimes it takes more than just talking therapy. You know, sometimes you need, like, hypnotherapy, or you need, like, journaling and write out all your feelings and everything. The thing is, she doesn't have to confront her father. She doesn't have to get closure from anyone other than herself. She just needs to be at peace with it, with herself. Because a lot of people, when they're looking for closure, they're looking for an apology. They're looking for the person who hurt them to say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. You're a better person than that. And that just doesn't happen. So somehow she needs to get to the point on her own, you know, maybe with your help, maybe with a hypnotherapist, maybe with a counselor, you know, through prayer, whatever it is, to say, I'm not that little girl that was abused. I am a grown woman. I can make my own decisions. Everything that happens to me from here on in is my choice. I chose this man to be my husband, and I choose to have a healthy relationship with him.
Great question, Donnie. Thank you so much for calling in. And in the answer to that, Lisa, interestingly enough, you hit on all five stages of closure. So we had talked about the recognition and acceptance, but then you went on to talk about the other three stages as well. What are those three stages in about the minute that we have remaining?
Okay, understanding. And understanding doesn't mean that why it happened. It just means understanding that, you know, you may not understand why it happened, but something happened to you and you need to be comfortable with yourself. You need to heal yourself. And then integration is the next step where you figure out how to live your life now with those lessons that you learned from the past. And then the last step is gratitude, to be able to say, I learned and grew from the situation. Yes, it was terrible, but I'm okay with it because here I am, and I'm grateful for where I am.
And that's probably the hardest one of all, Lisa, isn't it? Because you're really talking about something that is counterintuitive, goes against all of our human fiber.
Yep, but you know what? When you talk to people who are like cancer survivors, and you say to them, you know, would you trade this experience? And they go, it was horrible to go through, but I learned so much about myself, and I'm such a better person now that I wouldn't trade it for anything. I am grateful that I had cancer and overcame it. So many people will tell you that.
Wow. Powerful stuff, Lisa. We've been talking to Lisa Coffey, everybody. She's the author of the new book, Closure and the Law of Relationships, Endings as New Beginnings. Lisa, if people want to learn more about you or learn more about your book, where would you direct them?
You can go to closurebook.com, and you can also go to my personal website, which is coffeetalk.com, coffeetalk.com.
CoffeeTalk.com. That's great. Lisa, thanks so much. You're a wonderful guest. Great insight. Great answer to the question from our caller, too. Thanks so much for being on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain today.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, cool. Bye.
And we'll be back with our next guest, a true thought leader in the field of health and nutrition. And we'll be back after this short break.